Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. My name is Matt Whitney. I'm the host for SDI Encounters. Thank you so much for listening today. So for this week's podcast, we're going to talk about our webinar series. And so we brought in Stephen Crandell, who is the director of content here at SDI. And he is the manager and curator of our SDI webinar series. So our webinars are online educational resources that we offer here. And they cover a myriad of topics relating to spiritual companionship and contemplative practice. Each webinar consists of typically four sessions that are 75 minutes each. But Stephen is such a beautiful soul, so it takes us a while to actually get to talking about webinars because we start by greeting each other, and then that evolves into talking about welcome. And then we find ourselves exploring awareness of death and how that moves us into gratitude and how we share light with others. And that's just kind of how it goes around the old SDI water cooler here.
Thanks for doing this. It's last minute, but I always intended for the director of encouragement to kind of pop in here on these podcasts from time to time, and this is the first one.
Honored and grateful to be here. My name is Stephen Crandell, of course, and my real title is Director of Content at SDI. But I like to, as Matt referred, I like to call myself Director of Encouragement because that fits what my personal calling is for my whole life.
Yeah, somebody who offers welcome. I see you as the welcoming voice.
I love welcome. I think it's a spiritual quality. And hospitality isn't an industry. Really, it's quite a deep part of what it means to be human. And in lots of cultures and in almost all traditions, it's a way to feel whole. And it's certainly a way to be connected and to be in community.
Yeah. Well, you do it professionally and you do it personally every morning. You know, we drag ourselves in here with our coffee and our tea and slouch behind our desks, and you come in like a radiant light from heaven. Just like, hello, good morning. So good to see you. You name us. You're like, hello, Matt. Hello, Jade. Hello, Frederica. It's like, yeah. All right, Steven's here. Now we can really get cooking.
Well, I guess for me anyway, just personally, life is always worth celebrating, and the challenge is to find a place to celebrate even when I might feel a little bit blah. And I like this idea of being transparent to light, that there's lots of references and lots of traditions to shining light. But I don't think too many times we're focused on the fact that we're made out of clay and light doesn't pass through us. But I think part of that is where contemplative practice comes in, prayer, meditation, whatever brings stillness, and then intention. And so when I come in, I'm intentionally trying to shine a little of the light that, and I would say it doesn't really come from me, it comes through me. Mm-hmm. And there's another side to that, which is the receiving side, which is, and this is just me, not SDI, but the way I see it is we're all shining light. Sometimes even when we're feeling really dark and down, there's still a light that comes from us. And I try to be open to receive, not just from people, but all beings. And I get a lot of light from nature, and I get a lot of light, and I love the traditions that honor all beings, even still beings, rocks, right? Yeah. Minerals, the earth itself, the soil that things grow in. it can be a cliche to say we're all connected and we're connected to everything, but I think it really misses the experience that happens when we embrace that and we see how deep that can take us and how fulfilling it is to feel like we're always a part of things. Even when we're feeling most desolate and despairing, we're still connected and the light still can come through us and we can still drink it in. To me, it's like, oh, I'm really never bereft. I'm never really without any options. It's always, there's always a doorway of, and I think of it as a choice. I love free will. I like that idea. Some people say, well, it's not really free will. Well, okay, that's their free will that they're using to make that decision. But that's what I would say. But I think it's just, it's wonderful. And so it's a privilege to be alive and to come in and work with people like you. It's also a privilege to walk down the street with strangers and to know that they have many capabilities and wonderful qualities and that I'm here on the planet with them. And it gets to another practice of mine, gratitude. Mm-hmm. But I can talk about this stuff forever because I love it.
Well, yeah, and you are, well, it's a helpful counterbalance to the lump of clay analogy, right? Or what Imam Jamal Rahman calls like the handful of dust. You know, we are just a handful of dust and we're here for a moment. And it's good. It helps us sort of stay humble and it's supposed to move us into that appreciation and gratitude that you're talking about. But often it just makes us sort of surly and, you know, not, I hear from you just this radical gratitude just for being animated and alive. It's like, yeah, well, that lump of clay is moving and talking and sharing and creating and and loving. And like, why not acknowledge that at all times, you know?
Well, I think death, you know, a lot of we're actually working on, we're going to talk about webinars in a bit, but we're working on a webinar called Accompanying the Dying. And it's for people who offer spiritual care to people who are at end of life, but it's also for people who aren't chaplains or spiritual directors or hospice workers. They're just experiencing a loved one dying and they're attending to them and trying to be there at this quite charged and rich and often fraught time, because there's all sorts of practical considerations that go into it. And one of the concepts that's come up, and this is the reason why I love webinars, is I'm learning all the time and just drinking it in. Yeah. I'm 60 years old and I feel like I'm learning more now than I ever have in my life. It's so great. I'm so grateful to have this job at SDI. One of the things I learned is that there's a concept where you see death not as the enemy to be pushed away. You see death as your friend. And my image is I'm putting my arm around, you know, when your buddies, best buddies as kids, and you just walk with your arms around the other guy or the other girl, and you just, you know, you're just together. That's death in me, because death gives me perspective about everything and orients everything. I don't have a fear of death, although I do realize it will have lots of ramifications, particularly for my children and stuff. So, and practical things. Spiritually, I don't. But what I do know that death is giving me right now is a sense of a deep appreciation for every moment I'm here. Every moment. And do I want to look back? You know, they say, you never look back when you're on death's door and say, gee, I wish I spent more time at the office, right?
Yeah.
Although I like the office, and I think you might do that if you really loved it. You think, I wish I invested a bit more with the people and with the projects that really mattered to me. And so I try and just say, that's death giving me a gift now, because I'm not dead now. I can use this. This is like practical knowledge. And I think the spiritual and the practical have been separated too much in our lives. Like, because this is rarefied knowledge and only you need someone else to guide you to it. You have to... it's not going to be that useful in your day-to-day. To me, spiritual stuff, contemplation, having stillness, having ways to know yourself and know your deeper capabilities and deep connections are so useful in every day, and it changed my life in a practical sense. And so when I walk in the door, it's like, hey, why would I not use this? Why would I not have death, my friend, here whispering to me, how many times are you going to walk in this door? This is this time. How do you want it to be now? Because, and this is the great gift of being present, if we're here now fully, even if it's hard, or if it's wonderful, if it's ecstatic, or if it's ordinary, it's a gift. It's a gift. If someone gives you a gift, you don't go, it wasn't really what I was looking for on Amazon. You go, thank you. I mean, and that's the way it is. I mean, I think that it doesn't, it still frees us up to be completely honest. And if we meet something that we do not like it, but we're still completely there.
Yeah.
And the sense that that we can be aware of it and engage in it is. The other analogy that comes to me is I'm an old basketball player, right? When you get to play in a game, and this is true of any sport, right? You get to play. It's fun just to be part of it, to play. And when you're sitting on the bench, it's not nearly so much fun. There's still some team sense, and it can be important. Mm-hmm. But the fun is in the playing. And the playing is the thing.
Yeah.
All about that. So I that's why I love spiritual companionship so much. I think it's super practical. It's practical skill to have for the spiritual companion because it's going to have wonderful ramifications in the rest of their lives. But it's also wonderful service to people who are listened to because it sets an example to them to listen to themselves and eventually make self-discoveries and set on a journey of growth which can last the whole their whole life.
Yeah.
So we're not really trying to get anywhere or find a destination. We're just, what do I learn today? What do I enjoy today? What do I acknowledge because it's very hard or painful because this is what has been given to me? Mm. And that idea of being present, far from it getting anywhere close to mastering it, but what I can do in my heart, Matt, is just welcome it as an intention, and that's enough. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we reach a level. It's that we come back and we keep trying. I'm convinced of that.
Well, you sound like a master because I feel like the word that is coming to me is impermanence. And impermanence is just that it's always changing. Things are always changing. You talk about death being your friend because you know that the self is not static and that the self does not necessarily exist forever. And in fact, we sort of dread that, right? Because we sort of like being conscious of the world and we like, you know, being able to interact physically. And mm-hmm. But we are always changing. Right? Like our bodies are, we grow young, we grow old, and then like our bodies cease to work and we change into something else. Mm. You know, and our work changes. Our children, they start as babies and they become teenagers and then they become adults themselves. And we can either like long for, you know, oh, I loved them when they were a baby, but we also love them like in the present moment, right? And I hear in you just this, you know, what we have is just this moment because it's always changing. Mm. And I can either try to control that and try to cling to something, which we can't do. I can't cling to the previous moment because it's already gone. And so there's a loss of control, which can stress us out. Or we can kind of just be in the flow of it. Which is what I hear from you. I'm in the door today. I'm coming in today. How can I let that light that is already in me travel through me just right now?
Yeah.
And it's, it's almost like a constant recreating, right? A recreating of that light. And it's, we can choose that. That is that free will that you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of control. It's just not the control that we long for when we're driven by fear, right?
Yeah.
Then we want to make sure we're secure. We want to have walls around us. Mm-hmm. But there's another kind of security, which is comfort with vulnerability. And if we're comfort, yeah. if we're comfortable there, we can be intrepid. And you end up, I end up maniacal. Laughing. I just end up laughing.
It's like a mad scientist who was like made this massive discovery.
Oh, it's not. I don't. The older I get, the more humble I get. I don't think that I've discovered anything that hasn't been around for like thousands and thousands of years. But for me, it's a discovery because. I think I was up in my head or up in patterns, and I didn't realize how free I really was to chart my own course. I just can't change what's going to happen necessarily. But what ends up happening or what I'm experiencing is that my experience of my life, that choice of how I present, does change everything, even though it's not changing outward things like the job I do or how much money I make or can I just make my child well from an illness or whatever it is. It actually, because my experience changes, other things open up and I actually end up doing different things in different ways. SDI is a great example of that. I had no idea this organization existed before I came here, and I discovered it and found it and moved on because I was ready to. Mm-hmm. I was ready to take that adventure.
Yeah.
Support for this SDI podcast comes from Siena Retreat Center, offering a spiritual direction training program in an ecumenical setting and grounded in the principles of the emerging universe story. Siena Retreat Center is located on Lake Michigan between Chicago and Milwaukee and online at www.sienaretreatcenter.org. Siena spelled S-I-E-N-A. I was looking around on their website. They offer awesome guided retreats, personal retreats in a beautiful facility. I'll definitely be telling my friends in the Midwest about Siena.
But should we talk about webinars a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about what is a webinar? What is that? What is that
it's
thing?
Anything. It's anything that's engaging and anything that our community, which includes all sorts of spiritual companions, of course, spiritual directors, and that's where our name comes from and that's where our roots are. Mm. But spiritual companions, anyone who offers spiritual care, if it interests them, if it's practical to them, you've heard me talk about practical wisdom. This is wisdom, something that's deep, but it's also something that you can apply to what you're doing, to the way you live your life. Mm-hmm. And there's this other huge pool, which includes all spiritual companions, but it's just all seekers. Everybody who is aware that there is something beyond them, something deeper than just what they do each day, that there's lots of words for it, mystery, God, the universe, the infinite, that there is something we can't really, we can touch it, but we can't confine it or even really define it. And it is so powerful and it is so much bigger than us. That ultimately, some people get frightened of it or they turn it down, but others just welcome it. So this is a big group of people. And the webinars look at one particular topic, and we often get a number of voices, of wise voices, to share with people. And I like it to be experiential. So the idea is that people come to learn not so much facts, although there will be new knowledge that they gain, but approaches, techniques. I want them to experience. We always have a contemplative practice that bookends each session that we do. We often do 4-session webinars so that you have a sense of growing with the presenters and an arc of your own experience, rather than, okay, I've got to take this because I've got to learn this nodule of facts so that I can then achieve this. It's much more, how do I grow? Or how do I use this when I'm in spiritual companionship? Which is another thing. So you can tell from the way I'm talking that it can range anywhere.
Yeah.
And I just want to read through the titles. So this might sound like it's boring, but I don't think it will be, because these are just the webinars we've done in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So on everybody who's managed to still be listening, if you are, thank you. See all the different things we've been doing. This is just SDI. We have one coming up in August. Starts August 6th, so have a look at it. It's on our website now. And the beautiful thing is that Matt Whitney, who's our creative director, is leading it. It's called Contemplative Photography and Spiritual Companionship, and we can talk more about that later.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep reading the titles. Midwife to Our Movement, The Legacy of Sister Marianne Schofield, an SDI. She was a co-founder. Narrative Circles, New Approach to Group Spiritual Direction. Dreams, Poetry, and Spiritual Direction. The Enneagram and Spiritual Direction. Spiritual Companionship for the Spiritually Independent. Making a Living as a Spiritual Companion, 1 and 2. Two parts to that. Living the Questions, Henry Nouwen, and Spiritual Direction. Eldering for Spiritual Companions and Seekers. Social Justice and Spiritual Direction. New Approaches to Ignatian Spirituality. So those are 12, and there are 22 more on our list. But they give you an idea that we're interested in a lot of different things. Yes, always relating to spiritual companionship, because that's that is a clear goal of mine, to support our members, but also to wake up people, so many people, billions of people who don't know what spiritual companionship is. They don't know it's about the deep listening that can help you unlock a deep connection with God, or however you name the ground of all being. The wonderful acceptance and respect that comes from a spiritual companion who recognizes the agency of the person that they're with, their right to self-determine. So there's nothing about trying to convince them to any particular way. The fact that spiritual companionship works in all traditions, and also for those who are spiritually independent and don't necessarily have a tradition. And this other part, which I love, which is that it's very much based on a contemplative approach to life. And by that, I don't mean anything that means you have to be a monk for 5 years and learn to meditate, or you have to be able to memorize an hour and a half of prayers or anything like that, because I think stillness, what I like to call contemplative practice in its simplest form, can be brief and can be easy as listening to your breath, can be easy as choosing that stillness, which is not your mind, which is just where you're alive and aware. It's so rich there. It's so healing to me, and I want everyone to know about it, and I want everyone to know that they can have a spiritual companion who will be with them, honor that stillness, and also ask these wonderful open questions which help us go further and eventually invite us to self-discovery. This modality, I am convinced of, is so important to the world. And as we experience what we're experiencing now, we're speaking in July in 2019, the world seems in tumult to me. So many really big issues, and instead of coming together, we seem to be breaking apart, and it's quite scary. Spiritual companionship offers a modality of healing in that space that honors what is deepest and most honorable in us, and says that we can find integrity in the root of that word, because at the root of that word is integer, which is a whole number. And integrity doesn't just mean acting to high purpose. It means just being whole. Not broken, not flawed. You know, we carry so many negative things with us. But if we could just say, hey, I'm whole, and I have some practices to help me recognize that. And in that wholeness, there's beauty. And in that wholeness is my gift to share with others. And you can suddenly feel a whole churn of things move in a different direction. And so, what's a webinar? Hopefully, we get to that point where it's uplifting and inspiring without ever telling somebody that they have to do anything, but just saying, here are options. Here are wonderful people with wonderful stories to tell. Matt will tell you when he does his webinar why he loves photography, how he got into it, why he thinks it's contemplative. Personally, I think the creative act, I'm a writer, is deeply contemplative. And I know I don't write anything good by myself. If it's good, something, I channeled it somehow. And if it's lousy, it's probably all mine. I'm convinced of that because I feel connected when I'm writing something good. And then I read it and I go, that's okay. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, ancestors. Thank you, life force. And again, these words are just my words, but anything that works for you, that grounds you in this deep connection that we all have. And I want people to feel that, particularly with the one that Matt's going to do, because I think that, as I've told Matt lots of times, that many of us have smartphones. Apparently, there are 2.5 billion of these smartphones on the planet, and they have pretty good cameras on it. And if we took this thing that sometimes distracts us and makes us fraught with anxiety, overconnected, and it could get us out taking contemplative photographs that made us connected, gave us something wonderful to share with others that perhaps might help them feel again some connection with stillness, expand them. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Isn't it like a positive Trojan horse? You slip something in and you think it's to send texts to people and to check your email, but really it can be used to connect with your soul and to connect with other people once you find your wholeness. And in that sense, isn't it a perfect fit with spiritual companionship? So we're going to explore that. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I want to get back for just a second to the list of webinars that you, the titles. And what came to mind for me was like the bookshelf of like the most fascinating person ever. Like, imagine going to someone's house for dinner and you're like lingering in their living room and you come across their bookshelf and you're like, oh, I wonder what they read. And I'm hearing, you know, spiritual companionship and death, contemplative photography, the Enneagram, mentoring to the spiritually fluid. And I'm like, wow, I want to know this person. Tell me about this wisdom, this knowledge that you have. And that's what the webinar is. What I hear is just such, which is so joyful, is just it's people who have been exploring these things and are just sharing them. Mm. And it's sort of like being at that dinner conversation. I'm like, I saw you had that book on your shelf on the Enneagram. What's the Enneagram? I've heard of that. People are like talking about it and how life-changing it is. And then that sparks this conversation and there's this sharing. And then I come away from that meal and I'm like, wow, that was great. You know, like I learned a ton. That person was super interesting. Let's do that again. And so that's my sense of the webinars. You know, you sign up for one and you get to have dinner with some really fascinating people, talking about really meaty stuff, the things that keep us whole in tumultuous times, like you said. The photography webinar that we're going to do, you know, I've been a teacher for several years before I got this job. I was a professor at art, teaching all kinds of art subjects, and you know, I came into photography because I had just finished my MFA in 2012, and I was looking for teaching work. And there was this little college in a suburb nearby, and they were like, "Well, all I have is this photo class. Do you want to teach that?" And I was like, "Yes, absolutely." And I didn't know anything about photography. I had not ever really used a camera except my smartphone. And so that was how I learned, was by teaching that class. I had to stay a week ahead of them. And I'm like, what is this aperture? It's so confusing. Like, the higher the number, the lower. It doesn't make sense. and I get it now, having done it now for several years. But I've also taught, I've taught photography to art students, where it's rigorous, and I've taught photography to non-art students, people who are doing business degrees and communications and whatever, ministry, and it's their elective. And they come in and, you know, that first day they're like, "I'm really super intimidated by this idea of being creative. I am not creative." Right?
Yeah.
I'm not creative. And I said, "Oh, well, we'll see about that."
We'll check in with you at the end of the term.
And they find through the camera that they are creative. Because what I teach them and what I try to impart on them is that their lives are already interesting and fascinating. And that ordinary life presents infinite opportunities for appreciation and celebration and contemplation. Contemplation is just that, that being present and practicing deep listening. Listening with the heart, you know, not just the ears, the sort of hearing, but being aware of your surroundings and celebrating that through the lens. And so the lens can actually help us do that. You know, you were talking about the smartphone being this distraction device. And another thing I've heard from students, you know, when they come to my classes, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm really good at photography. I have 60,000 photos, you know, that I've taken on my phone in the last year." And I'm like, like, describe one to me, you know, and they can't, because it's just all this clutter, you know, they just sort of travel through life, just like snapping photos away. We've all seen people in museums, you know, they come up to an artwork, they take a quick photo of it and they move on. It's like, you haven't really seen anything. You've just sort of cataloged or documented something. It's almost like the camera is doing the seeing for you and you're forgetting to actually do some seeing. And so one of the things that I teach to is, okay, we need to reclaim the seeing for ourselves. And the camera is a tool to help us do that. The camera does not do the seeing. We do the seeing.
Yeah.
And the camera is just a tool to help us do that.
Yeah.
So get rid of the clutter. Try to get rid of that whole mindset that we can just snap away because we're not appreciating anything. last week I was on the bus. I was on the bus riding home from work, and I was thinking about this webinar and the kinds of practices I want people to... It's an experiential webinar. I want people to come away with creative practice that they can do anywhere at any time, regardless of ability or skill level. And I was like, okay, I better start like walking the walk here. And so I'm sitting on the bus and I'm kind of bored. You know, I could be listening to headphones or scrolling through the news. But I was like, no, I'm going to just be aware of my surroundings for a moment. And I'm looking around and I'm like, the bus is pretty boring. You know, it's a city bus, right? It's like the weird kind of seating mesh plastic. And but I was sitting, it was an articulated bus, and so the middle of the bus is kind of this accordion like bendy structure to it. And so I tried to frame it so that I could celebrate the sort of pattern of the lines in that accordion structure to bring out some of the contrast, the highs and lows of the light values, And I was kind of working it, the sliders on my phone a little bit after I had taken the photo to get everything just so, to crop out anything that wasn't those articulated lines, you know? Because I'm like, well, I want to focus on that because I'm really appreciating the sort of rhythm, the repeating forms there. So if there's anything like, you know, a screw bolt or a nut or mm-hmm. a smudge or something, that I'm going to try to like push that out of the frame. And I came up with a photo that was not transcendent art by any means, but it was something where I was like, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this process of seeing this very boring, stupid thing that I don't ever think about, but that was where I was sitting there. Why not appreciate just what is in front of me? So it's really just training yourself to, it's almost like, when you're practicing gratitude, even when you don't feel like it, like I'm grouchy, I'm not feeling grateful for anything, but okay, it's sort of like you reorient yourself. It's like, what can I be grateful for? Well, I'm not sick. Okay. Well, that's something to be grateful for, right? Like you can't, maybe you stretch a little bit, but, I think that's where the photography with the smartphone can actually do that for us. It opens us up to creativity in ways that we never would have considered. And that's why, you know, when the business student or the ministry student says, I'm not creative, and it's like, you just need to look differently.
Yeah.
And see that you are creative. It just takes a little bit of discipline and a little bit of practice. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Just play with that.
So, and it gets back to where we started, which is welcome, because I used to do more photography than I do now, but I always would be wandering around and then something would resonate with me because I was aware and I was checking things out, and it might have been a pattern on a bus or whatever. It didn't really matter. I wasn't judging whether it was worthwhile. I was just listening to what was resonating with me, which is, I know, a technique that spiritual companions use. They often ask that question, well, what resonated with, you know, they might be doing Visio Divina, or they might be listening to something, or they might be talking about a content. What resonated with you? What, where you're actually in relationship with something. And then instead of judging everything and deciding what can be trusted and what can't and what's up and what's down, it's like you're open and you're resonating or not, and then you're going deeper into it to try and make something that represents that experience, that resonance that can be shared. That's what the photo, the resulting photo is, which is a fun creative act. It's not hermetically sealed in your mind in just this blah, 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 talking. It's something you're making that you hope, I hope when I made something, I could show to someone and they could get, whether a sense of wonder or whatever it was, a sense of, or whatever I was resonating with me. And I think it's all about a welcoming of our life, a welcoming of the presence, and then a welcoming of potential relationships, relationship with whatever or whomever we're shooting, relationship with whomever might see this product photo. And that is connecting. And I think our life gets richer the minute we make that choice, because it's so easy to get in the turned off mode, especially if you're reading, like scrolling the news or something, getting more, for me, getting more and more angry and or just disaffected by what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I'm connected with what's here and now. And so I think that that's a gift, and I can't wait for people to get in. Another nice thing about the webinar is that people will be able to be, there'll be a closed group online. They'll be able to share with other people on the webinar, their own photos. And then we'll be learning about positive critique, all sorts of things. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But, as you can tell, I love my webinars. I love this webinar, but each one is has something beautiful in it, and each one presents the opportunity for adventure in the greatest sense that you can, if you're willing to put something in. If travel isn't something you consume, or a trip isn't just something that you put in your bucket list, it's actually something that you engage with, then you're being vulnerable. There's some risk, right? If you engage in something, that you might fall on your face or whatever, or it might just be disappointing, and then, oh, but I was hoping this was going to be better, or whatever it is. But each webinar is an invitation to personally engage and then grow from the experience, and know that you'll be cradled warmly. I'm holding, you can't see this out in podcast land, but I've got my hands open in front of me, and I see us, all the people, and I, you know, I only choose people to do presenters like Matt, who have good and kind hearts, that we hold you tenderly in our hands and in our hearts. Each webinar in this sense is like a prayer. It's like a spiritual act that is of invitation and with a very sincere hope that you will be like, if we're perched in the hands, completely free to go in any direction, but always supported.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Thank you for being that beautiful light just now, and inviting people to do a webinar and like holding them lightly, palms upward. Just some quick logistical things. The webinar sessions, they happen at a certain time, but if you sign up, you can watch them anytime you want.
Yeah, they're all recorded.
Yeah.
And then they're available online. And one thing's a bit different. I was quite strong in that I wanted to be easy for people to access if they couldn't make a time. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be available. So sometimes you have to watch it within a week or a month or something, and then it just goes away. And with ours, you're guaranteed for at least a year that you can watch it. And in practice, like we have webinars from 2013, which are still on the books.
Yeah.
And if you paid for those back in 2013, you'd still be able to go back them and use them as resources. We've never taken a webinar out of circulation. And I think that's important. It's kind of like the book on the shelf, right?
Yeah.
A good book. Okay, that was, yeah, I marked that quote, didn't I? And you open it up and there's the book, and then you're diving back into it. I want our webinars to have that kind of access.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I don't have anything else.
No, not right now. Just thanks everybody for listening. And thank you, Matt, for doing these podcasts.
They're totally awesome. Thanks for the time. We're going to do more of these. This is fun.
We'll do.
It's super
happy
easy.
Happy anytime. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Our webinars are offered as sources of inspiration, education, wisdom, but most of all, storytelling. They're often led by spiritual directors, and they are for anybody interested in spiritual practice and spiritual care. All of our webinars, past, present, and future, are available on our online store, secure.sdiworld.org. And then click on the webinars button. So upcoming, we have our one-day webinar with one of our founders, Marianne Schofield, which is on July 17th. And the one we spoke about, the contemplative photography webinar, which I have the honor of facilitating, begins August 6th. It is offered for all types of creative people, whether you are a photographer or not, or if you're someone who doesn't consider themselves creative. You may be creative and you just don't know it yet. So come join us. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.